When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go
downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help. I know.
Downtown. You'll never guess what we'll be talking about in this episode.
Or who we'll be talking to. Chelsea Gondek, CEO of the Downtown Partnership.
She'll be giving us an update on all things downtown next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best of Manitou and Colorado Springs and elevate the rest.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts, the cure for common apathy and indifference. Reported side effects include a sense of being informed and engaged. Ask your doctor if Studio 809 is right for you.
I'm Al Brody.
And I'm Dave Gardner. Reluctantly, we're giving Carrie Simpson an excused absence today.
But we still have some impressive downtown expertise in the building, Ms. Chelsea Gondek.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back, you guys.
We've been meaning to have you back ever since you were officially named CEO of the Downtown Partnership, which I guess happened as of the first of this year.
Yep, fresh new start to this year.
But now we've got a second reason, the release of the 2026 State of Downtown Colorado Springs Report.
Before we get into that, I want to let you know that the Loving the Springs podcast is madly in love with downtown, so we would be doing this regardless, but we should disclose that the Downtown Partnership is a valued content partner with Studio 809 Podcasts, so the love runs extra deep.
One more love affair to report. That is with the Next Us, the amazing entrepreneurial beehive of good people and interesting businesses, which happens to be in downtown Colorado Springs.
And it's the home of the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio, right where we're sitting on April 2nd, 2026.
It's all about you, Chelsea. What's going on in this report?
Oh, it's all about downtown. Oh, there's so much. There's so much going on in this report. It's so exciting every year when we get the chance to really look back at the prior year and everything that is going on downtown in this one square mile of our community. I'd say some of the top headlines out of this year's report were really about the visitation that we're seeing downtown, and also notably the fact that we almost doubled the number of people that call downtown home in 1 year.
I just find that astonishing.
Yes. It's amazing.
Were you surprised?
I wouldn't say surprised. When I was last on your podcast, we were talking about our plan of development downtown. And our last plan of development was really pushing this residential piece to make downtown a community as opposed to just a central business district. And so it's really been a push over the last decade or so, but we're really seeing a lot of that come to fruition with some of the large multifamily developments that we've seen. And this past year, we had four major developments come online that brought over 700 additional units. So we fully anticipated that we would see this increase, but to literally be able to say that you doubled it in 1 year is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, from about 2,500 in 2024 to almost 5,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is the 1 mile? So we're about 200 square miles as a city. So give me the perimeter of this 1 mile.
Yeah, I would say if you're familiar with Colorado College, there really are north boundary and then the creek along our west and southern side. And then it jaunts back and forth along our east end, but out if you're
somewhere
familiar
around Mark Shuffle.
No, not quite. I think that would definitely make us more than one square mile of the city. But yeah, jaunts back and forth on our east end.
So is it Shook's Run or is it less than Shook's Run?
I would say we're just west of Shook's Run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good to know because it is a finite area. It's the heart of our city, but it's good to know.
So I guess with that kind of residential bump, then all of these new, maybe you can fill us in. Yeah. Are they more apartments or more condos or what's the mix there?
Yeah, they are mostly for rent, multifamily apartments ranging anywhere from your super small micro studio up to 3-4 bedrooms. And I would say that, of course, we want additional for sale properties downtown. We could dive deep into that. But yeah, most of the units that we've brought online in the last decade or so are market rate for rent. We have a handful of affordable units that we've brought on as well.
Okay. So it sounds like there's not a bunch of them sitting empty.
So it's fluctuated, obviously. It's not normal to dump hundreds of new units online all at the same time. And so we've really seen the fluctuation of what you would consider, right, occupancy of these apartments. But we've seen an impressive uptake of people moving into the apartments, so much so that one of the major apartment builders has already announced a phase two to one of their developments that'll bring an additional 400 plus units. So there's certainly still a strong demand.
So why so many apartments and not so many owned units?
Yeah.
You went there.
I will not do us the brain damage, but essentially there's some kind of statewide legislation. It's considered condo defect legislation. So essentially it makes the cost of developing for sale units really prohibitive to people who want to build them. So they aren't cost effective.
Wow. So that's it.
Yeah.
Who knew? One more tricky question, maybe. With all this building that's going on and doubling of the residential occupancy, I'm curious about how that's making the guys feel who are hoping to build that super high rise. That's going to add a lot of units. What's the scuttlebutt on that?
Yeah, I don't know the latest. I know that they're still in development with the wide world of the market that we're in right now. They're certainly trying to put their capital stack still together. I know they got through their URA approval process, but we're still hopeful that they'll break ground. But unfortunately, no scoop here in terms of timeline.
So I got to know, it's slightly a different subject, but how big is a micro studio square foot?
I don't know the smallest that we have downtown, but there are some that are in the range of 500 to 600 square feet.
I'm from New York. That would be
that's huge.
Hey, you're like, that's not a micro.
My wife and I lived in 137 square feet for almost 7 years.
Okay.
Oh my
so
God.
Not quite that small.
Okay.
I don't think we have any that
and
are quite
China,
that small.
That would be a palatial apartment.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. That just explains why you two are still together.
That's good. That's,
you, could you have to be.
Manage that.
500. Okay.
So what are the rents looking like? Can you give us a little bit of a ballpark?
Yeah, I think our average rents are sitting around $1,700 or so a month. And actually, it's been somewhat pleasant for some of our renters, I think, because there's a small decrease in what we're seeing across the rental market just because there has been this increase in supply.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Got to accommodate the rise in utility costs somehow.
It's got to be weird. There's been so much construction activity. You would think all of the real estate developers would be looking at each other and saying, whoa, I don't want to be looking for tenants at the same time all these other guys are. They can't seem to stagger.
I think the intention was certainly for it to be staggered, but in construction, we all know delays happen, timelines, schedules get changed. So it was just an unintended kind of outcome to have so many of them quite literally coming online in the same quarter.
Now you have pretty good news for us in the retail department.
Yeah. So this last year, downtown actually broke $500 million in sales. And that is astounding, again, right, as we're contemplating what's happening in the larger market. And it was actually an increase of about 7% over the year prior. And that's across, right, our bars, restaurants, retail, and services. So retail had double-digit increases over the year prior. And I think bars and restaurants was somewhere around that 7-8% as well.
That's just inflation.
It might be.
That's entirely
that's
possible.
That's a little more than that. That's a little more than inflation.
Maybe.
I'm sure that's a factor. We don't calculate it.
But there's a cost of parking.
Oh, goodness. We can't get away from parking.
You can get away from parking.
Yeah.
And now you have, hopefully, 2,500 more cars, I would think.
Hopefully we don't, actually.
Well, I lived in 137 square feet with one person other than me. And we had two cars.
Did you really?
Did you?
Yes.
You didn't take advantage of the phenomenal transit?
We did take advantage. We were the public transit. So I'm asking a serious question.
Yeah.
If you live in Colorado and you act like you live in Colorado, you have a car that's worth less than your bicycle, but you have a car so that you can get to the places to do the things you want to do.
That's true.
So let's talk about that. Now you got 2,500 potential.
Yeah.
More spaces that cost money. That's inflation induced by the changes.
Those sales numbers are purely on bars, restaurants, retail services.
Okay.
So the cost of parking is not calculated into any of that.
Good to know.
I'd say a majority of the new multifamily that comes online, they do build enough parking within that private development to be able to have the capacity for the new residents.
And the city still has some kind of requirement for that, I'm sure.
For the most part, yes. Actually, some of downtown doesn't have parking requirements, right? Because we know we have structured parking. We know we have on-street parking. But for the most part, recognizing the reality of commuting patterns for the broad populace at this point, they still build it in.
Hopefully all those new residents, they're commuting in their tennis shoes.
Yeah, that's the hope. And we saw this year, when we look at commuting patterns and percentages of people who are maybe going by a single occupancy vehicle or walking or biking or using a scooter or public transit, all of the latter are increasing while the commuting by car alone is decreasing. So some positive news there as well.
That's great.
Yeah.
What else is noteworthy?
We've talked about the major headlines. I'd say, additionally, the arts, entertainment, culture aspect of downtown is alive and well. Certainly a third of what we work on is, right, being the cultural heart of the city. And in 2025, we hosted nearly 800 arts, culture, sport events. And what that means for the city is that we hosted nearly a third of the events citywide in downtown. And some of our cultural institutions have seen the best visitation that they've ever seen, or certainly since the pandemic. So I know Cottonwood Center for the Arts, super popular cultural institution downtown, saw its highest attendance ever at over 120,000 visitors. And the Pioneers Museum also is seeing numbers above and beyond what they were seeing pre-pandemic. So to me, it really speaks to, regardless of what's going on in the broader world, like, people still seek these arts and culture opportunities, and where they seek them is downtown.
So the biggest event for me is Pikes Peak International Hill Climb Fan Fest.
Yes.
Is there an event bigger than that downtown?
In terms of what brings, when we look at foot traffic for an event, it's certainly still the Parade of Lights is one of our top contenders. And I think this past year, some of our top three weekends included the weekend of Pride Fest. And also, we see a lot of people who come into downtown for breakfast or lunch or to shop after the balloon liftoff over in Memorial Park.
Shout out to the police department for handling Pride Fest the way they did, because I've been to Denver and I've been here, and it's a world of difference. Denver does a job because they have a job to do.
Yeah.
But I think whatever we do here, it seems to just be peaceful. It's been nice.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the most exciting subjects to talk about. So I think we should do a little looking forward. What can you share with us about arts and culture to look forward to this year?
Yeah, first and foremost, right, we're really wrapping up our Elevate Downtown plan. I know when I was last here, we were in the thick of trying to get people to participate, but a huge component of that, one of our main goals, is around arts and culture. And so we're heading into tourist season, so we're going to see lots of fun activations and festivities. After a year off, we're bringing back Revel, which is our arts long table dinner in Adaman Alley. And we're going to have several activations, notably coming up rather soon, right, as our Mom's Day out. So there's going to be a fun kind of passport program that's going to help people get into some of our retailers and see a lot of the unique boutiques that we have downtown. Yeah, just lots to look forward to.
Music.
How could I forget? New and exciting this year. So Acacia Park, which is one of the historic parks downtown, will have its very own weekly concert series. I think it's aimed to kick off in June. But if anybody's familiar with the concert series that you see in Bancroft over in Old Colorado City, same proprietor bringing live music to downtown for several weeks during the visitor season.
So like there's a promoter, somebody who's in charge of that, who's booking the bands and
yes,
all that?
Yes, yeah, but we are working diligently with them just so that we can make it the best it can be for downtown.
Who is that?
Sarah Voss.
I was wondering if
blanking
it was Sarah.
On what her company is. Yes.
Dizzy Charlie's, right?
Yes, Dizzy Charlie's. Yeah. So working closely with her, which has been super exciting. She has done such a great job in the OCC music series. And it's certainly obvious that for years, people have asked, why don't we have something like that downtown? And so it's really great to have such an amazing partner on board.
And it's a good thing we have such a great band shell and restrooms and everything down there.
You are just leading us through this. Yes. So we're also working with the Downtown Rotary Club. They actually came to us because they wanted to invest in a project downtown, right? They are downtown's Rotary Club. And they had mentioned that there are amphitheaters in other downtowns that they have helped activate. And so they came to us curious about what they could do to help revitalize the historic bandshell in Acacia Park. And so we're partnering with them on putting together a really great plan to reactivate, revitalize the bandshell. And kind of a larger part of this historic Acacia Park. And with that, of course, is the need for kind of enhanced restrooms. Certainly, Bancroft has one. And when we have any sort of large activation downtown, there's an expectation that some restrooms are brought in to help facilitate the large crowds that are bringing. And so as part of this discussion around enhancements to the bandshell, it's really expanded to include enhancements to the restrooms in the park.
We don't want to make an episode, at least not today, about restrooms, but it's got to be challenging because today you can't even go to the bathroom at the grocery store because I guess apparently people set up meth labs in the bathroom or something like that. So that's got to be really challenging in Acacia Park.
Yeah, it's, I think, often surprising to people that it's not the capital investment that's problematic for infrastructure like bathrooms. It's really the ongoing maintenance. And so that's a big part of the discussion that we're having as we're saying if we're going to put some sort of investment into these facilities, right? How do we meaningfully maintain them so that they're available when the mom at the playground needs to take a child to the bathroom?
I've got the answer.
What is the answer?
They just need to have 24-hour valets in there.
Are you volunteering?
Cloth towels at the works.
Yeah, some chocolate mints.
They can work for tips.
Yeah, there you go.
In
side
Europe,
hustle.
They do have people in the bathrooms. So that's not unusual. So that's not a bad idea.
Wow.
But what I'm seeing around the country is, especially in these parks that certain communities are developing, these massive parks with lots of recreation activities, is there is a check-in where you actually get a bracelet.
Oh.
And you're free to do whatever you want, but you actually check in. You're in the park. And at 10 o'clock, the park closes and the gates close. And I think it's unfortunate, but just like when you go to Walmart and certain things are behind a cage now, or you go to a clothing store like Kohl's and the racks are racks, but the clothing is actually locked up. It's got a cable running through it.
I haven't been to a Kohl's in a while.
Wow.
So I think we have to adapt to our current society. If we want these things, somebody's got to be there to be that face, or it's going to get destroyed. And I see that all over the country. It's not our problem. It's our problem, a big our problem.
Yeah, so, I agree.
You need this guy on your advisory board.
There you go.
I'm just telling you, I look for best practices.
Yeah.
And the really good parks have really good facilities.
Yeah.
But there's somebody working to keep an eye on who's coming in, who's going out.
Right.
They're not doing anything weird about you. They're just saying hi.
They're there.
Glad you're here.
Yeah.
Go have a good time. So,
we've been talking a little bit on the last episode or two about the Front Range Passenger Rail District.
Yes.
It's pretty hard to believe that in a couple of years we might have...
Wait, a couple of what? The sentence was always 11 years from now, and now we've reduced it.
To a couple.
Down to five.
Maybe five. But I know the airline industry is seeing most of their profit coming from first class, the premium seats. This is a premium train. It's going to be servicing the people who can afford to use the train as an option. It's not a piece of transit that will be open to everybody. It'll be open to everybody, but nobody will be able to afford it that actually needs it. If we're going to go ahead with a sales tax, and I know this is a totally different subject, sales tax hits everybody, but not everybody gets to use this train, as opposed to tax that helps fix streets. That hits almost everybody. Everybody uses the streets and sidewalks somehow. So if this comes up for a vote, I don't know how we're going to promote a sales tax. Different subject, but I'm just throwing it out there for the downtown.
Yeah.
It's a great idea when you think about, would it be nice to have a train? Yes.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to pay for it with the sales tax? I'd say, hell no.
Well, I won't tread into that. I think on your point about what it would mean for downtown, and I don't know what the latest in terms of the cost to ride that they're projecting or anything like that, but
this is from the latest open house. I went to that.
Okay.
That's what I absorbed. They was there too. So
yeah, but they didn't give us real solid financial information.
No, because it's
terrible. They're still working on that. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think in terms of opening up the opportunity of people who might want to come down and experience all that Colorado Springs has to offer, which of course they should be dropped off in downtown of anywhere, I do think that it does create a wider accessibility for people. So many people are stopped by the fact that they don't want to sit on I-25 and not know if it's going to take them 45 minutes to get where they're going.
Or 4 hours.
Depending on what happens on that 45-mile stretch.
And it's daily.
It's daily. Exactly.
It happens daily.
Yeah. Some fun can be had on that train.
Exactly.
And in my dream world, the train is taking cars off of I-25, and so the taxpayers benefit by, even if they don't think they're going to use the train, it's going to be free-flowing I-25. Of course,
maybe it would be more consistently closer to the 45 minutes as opposed to the 4 hours.
But the truth is, we can fill up the train, and I-25 is still going to be full, but it might be a little better. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. And I guess you guys are co-hosting an upcoming open house, right?
Yeah, we're co-hosting an open house down at Kinship Landing, hopefully to learn more about what is the latest on the potential FRED or RangeLink.
They know which one won the vote.
Yes, voting did end.
So they should be telling us soon.
Yes, we'll know soon.
FRED or COCO.
Presumptuous to name something that doesn't exist yet.
Gain some excitement. Right?
Okay. So I brought this up at the meeting, the train meeting, and I think it's worth this conversation too. I was in Windsor and Loveland and a couple of other of the small towns up north. So from south of Fort Collins and north of Denver, that area, Firestone. And what I'm noticing, and I've been here since 1991, okay, so I've seen a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Not as many as some other people, but a lot. This train is commuter rail. It's intercity train, okay? And what I said to them, and this is how I believe, we're no longer a city here and a city there. We are now this megalopolis, this metropolitan area that is the Front Range.
Front Range, yeah.
And if you want to see another Front Range, it's the Wasatch Front. It's Salt Lake City, which is way north of Salt Lake and way south of Salt Lake. If you want to see something that's like us but ahead of us, it's a good place to go and take a look at it. But now we're one big sprawl with these pockets of downtowns, and everybody's developing their downtown. Windsor shocked me. I was like, wow, that's cool. And they have a ski resort that you can see. Kind of like we can see the Broadmoor ski. It was called Shark's Tooth. And it's still there. It's got snow. It had snow on it. Yeah, it was
interesting
amazing.
This year.
And they can see the drilling rigs too.
18,000 or
best
more.
Of it all.
They've got a lot. Yeah. But anyway, light rail is what you use in a city. And I think that made more sense to me from what I see. So as we develop, as Castle Rock becomes Monument, and Monument becomes Peregrine and Briargate, and downtown stays as this downtown. It's really cool. I hope it always stays like that.
Me too.
Are we thinking about how we function more like a neighborhood than an actual downtown? Are we starting to think like, how do we integrate with these other places where people of similar interests
yeah.
would want to come down and go to the park.
Yeah.
Because, huh, Acacia Park has something
right.
that I want to see.
Yeah.
So how do you attract those? Because I go to all these other little downtowns yeah. because they're downtown.
Yeah.
This is a cool place.
I think you answered your own question, right?
But,
it's a cool place.
Okay, but
it's
what are
unique.
We doing? What are you
right.
doing?
It's unique,
yeah, okay.
right? So
yeah.
you just even mentioned in your question, right? Downtown has Acacia Park with this band shell that's going to have this regular music series.
I guess the question is, how do you tell people in the other downtowns that we got this going on? You're advertising in all those little downtowns.
Oh, yeah. That's... We do very targeted outreach to
Good.
People that we know would be interested in the unique amenities that we have downtown.
Chelsea's on it. She's got the right answer.
Mostly Carrie, actually. Carrie's on that one. But like,
okay.
you have to recognize, right? Like, people have a lot of options these days. And there's a multitude of what you might consider competitive areas to downtown,
mm-hmm.
even within Colorado Springs itself,
sure.
because we're so widespread. And so I think that's part of our job, is like a key important piece of what we do is telling the story of downtown and telling the story of our retailers and our bars and restaurants and how what you're going to get to experience or mm-hmm. witness or be a part of downtown is different from what you're going to see in maybe some of those other corridors. We're the storytellers for downtown, right? We are this advocate and this voice for all of these independent, locally owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I've said it here before, but we have the largest concentration of those type of businesses in the entirety of the southern half of our state. So when you're thinking of maybe going to some of these other downtowns, like, we can sell ourselves on what is unique about us and some of the cultural institutions we were talking about earlier, right? No other downtown has the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum.
Yeah.
No other downtown is home to Switchbacks FC. No other downtown has the Fine Arts Center, right? So we have a lot of really incredible institutions and assets that we just have to tell the story to bring people here.
No other downtown has Poor Richards.
Amen.
I thought about that.
So I got to
yes.
ask. I got to ask.
Yeah.
Because there's rumbles about what's going on
rumbles.
There.
So.
She probably
so.
Can't say a word.
I don't know. Can you update us on that?
I don't know what's public yet. All I can tell you is that Poor Richards is an incredible, long-standing institution downtown. Richard Squirman has done so much for this community. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to him or talk with someone about him, I learn something new. And I just anticipate that we'll see many more years of the positive impact of the string of businesses that he has in North Downtown.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who might not be even halfway plugged in, the rumor is that a sale is happening or has happened or is about to happen. So we'll see. We should have.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if we can get Richard to come in here and give us the breaking news.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
He could tell you more about downtown than I could.
Maybe that will free him up to focus on Kimball's Peak 3, because that's something.
Yeah.
Well, he
put
started
a bug in here. It would be yeah. great to see something cool
oh,
happen there.
Agreed. I recently just found out that one of his buildings was the original location of Kimball's before they got their location
yes. yeah.
on Pikes Peak. And yeah, I mean, we more than anything talk about a real anchor institution downtown, a movie theater.
Not just a movie theater, but
yeah,
an independent movie theater. That's
yeah.
the key.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is we really do
yeah.
need an independent movie
well,
theater.
Right? It's a niche. It's a market that we're not mm-hmm. currently serving. So we'd love to have something like that back.
And I think, doesn't Chuck Murphy own that building?
He does.
Chuck, come on, man. You're a good man. We know that. You have a good heart.
You
so
give him a call.
Yeah. We're calling you out. Now, yeah. let's figure this out. Let's do something yeah. cool with that.
So many people have a heart for that building and that business. I'm sure we're going to figure something out.
That's where I saw Thunderball when I was a teenager. I rode my bike downtown
see?
To see my first James Bond movie.
See? So many Peak people Theater. Have amazing personal connections and stories back
yes,
to.
We do.
I don't know if you have personal connections and stories to your big box store out east, but like, you have the stories about seeing your first James Bond film in downtown.
And one of the keys, like we're talking about Richard Squirman, is there a person that owns a store that is a character that we can get to know this is my question to you. I want to know the Richard Scormans. I want to know the people who own the bookstore and own the candy store. I saw that Bingo Burger went out. And for a while, when they were new, the owner was there and you could feel the excitement. And he spread out too thin. Borriello Brothers is another one where when it was a store, it had character. So I'm asking this as a question. Where should I go to meet the character that owns the store, that is pouring their heart into that store downtown?
I would do an injustice to choose just one. I'll give you a handful.
Okay, and I'll take them.
Shout out to all of our businesses. It takes something that I will never have to run a small business. Like, they are all incredible champions. Some of those that come to mind, certainly Eric Brenner, Chef Eric Brenner, who runs Red Gravy, really came into this market with Red Gravy and made it his own and cares so deeply. And most days you will find him in the kitchen still. And he recently bought his building. And so he's really putting down roots. I also think of Perry Bolts of Eclectico and really this consortium of different small businesses and giving them the opportunity to figure out if they want to do brick and mortar. There's a multitude of businesses that have moved through Perry's store and have gone on to have their own separate brick and mortar businesses. We could be here all day if I could talk about the amazing people that we get to work with and whose story we get to share. But those are a couple that come to mind. One last plug, because you mentioned a business that had been affected, right, by like a fire. Yobel, Emily and Clay Ross, who got to relocate into this absolutely gorgeous space down in the trolley block, not just for their retail store, but also to be able to house artists affordably and have a gallery. Like, again, we just have such amazing businesses downtown who all just do such incredible work for our community.
You tap dance very well. Al's been trying to get you in trouble.
You're both always trying to get me in trouble.
Wow. I thought we were trying to build you up.
We're building up downtown. We got it.
We didn't mention the Sunday market. That's starting up pretty soon.
Yeah. It was every other weekend, I believe, this prior year. And people just loved it so much. They saw such good foot traffic and such good positive promotion. And everyone was asking us, like, why aren't they every weekend? And so this year they are coming back to be every weekend. Super exciting.
That's great. Are we at that question already?
I think we are.
Goodness.
Okay, I got to modify it slightly for this conversation.
Yeah, and I might have to butt in because we don't want redundancy, right?
No redundancy.
Okay.
Okay. Usually I just ask, what do you love about the Springs? But that would be way too easy. So is there a place in downtown when you're about ready to pull your hair out that you say, I just need a moment, that you go and just find solitude?
Now, when you were here before, episode 16, I think, we pinned you down on the Exchange.
Yes.
Slightly different question,
though.
Yeah. So you can't give us that answer. No. I love the Exchange.
Yes.
Hope you still do, too.
But I do. I'm going to go a different route, because you said where I can really find a moment of
solitude.
And I have a heart for the outdoors, which is why I chose to make Colorado Springs my home. And honestly, getting out on the Pikes Peak Greenway Trail, you can't find a better option, right? You have historic buildings, you have this beautiful creek, you can see Pikes Peak, and you really have this opportunity, even though you're literally immediately adjacent to downtown, like a 5-minute walk from my office building. I can be where I don't hear cars, where I hear animals, maybe kids playing at a playground, people walking their dogs, which always alleviates stress, people riding their bikes. And so I would say getting out on a walk on the Pikes Peak Greenway Trail kind of really brings me back to my body.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well done. Thanks for the work you're doing, and thanks so much for taking time to share with us today.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure to come talk to you.
Glad to hear it.
We're not finished.
Well, we are finished, because Hala
stick around for some news that's not going to happen.
Unless you've got some news tidbits.
I always want to plug the Wednesday Night Ride from the Lincoln Center. Mm-hmm. It's getting big, and Denver's ride, their cruiser ride, got up to 3,000 riders at one time. This is over 100 already, and the weather is just beginning to cooperate, and the daylight is beginning to cooperate. It's not about biking. It's about going for a ride with a bunch of people and being social downtown.
Yeah.
So we ride through downtown, and we talk about downtown, and this ride coming up next Wednesday is, I believe, a ride where you fill the little micro libraries.
Oh, how fun.
The pantries, because there's some that actually function as pantries. Mm. It's a pantry ride, not a panty ride, a pantry ride.
Okay.
Good clarification.
I got to make sure people get this. And you bring some non-perishable items and give them to these pantries or the libraries, and it seems to work. Yeah. It's a bit of heart, so good way to give back. That's easy, doesn't take much.
Building
a reason
community.
To go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
All right. I know there's lots of news coming up. We're keeping our eye on this data center proposal up on Garden of the Gods Road, keeping our eye on city council, who's going to be choosing a new district two city councilor.
And we have our fingers in space. I don't know if you watched Artemis yesterday, but that was incredible. So since it's online, you can watch it in case you missed it. But that was, I worked at Cape Canaveral for 88 launches. I've seen many launches up close and personal. That was outstanding.
What did you do there?
I was the logistics support squadron commander at Cape Canaveral.
Wow.
Learned something new every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
88 launches.
88
That's
successful
impressive.
Unmanned launches. We didn't do the space shuttle.
Yeah.
I think riding Fred or Coco will be a little cheaper than riding Artemis II.
That's very true. Yeah, give it that.
But there's no sales tax for Artemis II.
Oh, maybe not sales tax.
Maybe
income
not sales tax.
Income
Certainly
tax.
Funding from
yes,
some.
Yes, there
from
absolutely
everyone.
Is, but not sales,
sales tax.
That's it for this episode of Loving the Springs.
If you're still with us, that must mean that you value what we're doing.
If that's the case, give us a good review, but most importantly, recommend Loving the Springs to your friends, neighbors, family, and work colleagues.
And look for a link in the show notes to support Studio 809 Podcasts. We're a special gift to the community. If you want this to keep happening, we could really use your support.
Until next time, keep loving the springs.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely,
you can always go downtown.
When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry
seems to help, I know.
Just listen to the music of the traffic in the city.
Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty.
How can you lose?
The lights are much brighter there.
You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares.
So go downtown.
Things will be great when you're
downtown.
That's enough.
All right. Boy.
I didn't know I was going to have to sing. Carrie did not tell me that.
I didn't either. Not a singer in the bunch.
We're stepping up the game. I don't even know.
That's where you need. Carrie's in a band.
Yeah.
That's where you need Carrie.
Her. We'll have to auto-tune
that. That's why you could clip her in. Just, Exactly.
You were such a good sport.
Yes.
No,
that
you
was
guys
great.
Are amazing.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.